episode 67 of K-Drama Convos. So, today we are talking about the movie 20th Century Girl. So, we're recording this November 3rd, and the movie came out, I was like, 21st or something? So, you know, and you watched it days after. It wasn't even a week.
Right.
Okay, so this movie, I don't think it was released yet on Netflix, but we read the premise. I don't even know if it was out yet. Together. Like, we were both there. And we were like, oh, that sounds interesting.
And that was it. That's all we said.
Days later, she's like, oh, yeah, I watched that movie. I'm like, you watched it without me.
Anything I watch without you is on Netflix. I don't watch any.
You can't. Well, Vicky doesn't work on your phone.
Vicky doesn't work on my phone.
Yeah. But I was so offended. I'm like, you couldn't, like, ask before you just
No,
started.
Because every time I ask, you're like, I actually want to see that one.
It's not every
no,
time.
No, please don't watch it without me.
Okay, it is not every time. You're currently watching
Blue Whisper.
Blue Whisper, and you're also watching Wooree the Virgin, which I was somewhat interested in. But I was like, whatever. And if anything, for Blue Whisper, you're not, but for Wooree the Virgin, you just give me the play-by-play.
Yeah, I can
just
do that.
Just give me the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, and Blue Whisper, I just call you in when some amazing new costume comes in.
She just, like, interrupts me eating. It's like, you gotta come see this. I'm like, oh my gosh. So with this one, you basically told me you have to watch this movie.
Yes.
You
were like... And told you nothing about it.
It was so... Okay, I gotta admit, it was really funny watching you for a few... Because once you watched it, I think... Were we still finishing a different...
Yeah, we were watching something else at the time.
Or we were in between shows or something. So it was a few days before we could actually start, like, two or three. Mm-hmm. And you were like, trying so hard because you didn't want to spoil.
I wanted to talk
anything.
About it so bad, but I couldn't. Oh, speaking of which,
oh yeah,
this will be full of spoilers because you can't really talk about this movie,
without
spoilers.
Yeah, especially the obviously like I mean some, mainly it's the ending that it is a very big spoil. Like, yes, we are going to be, like...
Or the middle, too. When she finally comes back from America.
Oh, that. Oh. Okay, so, yeah, we're going to be talking about the entire plot in detail.
Yes.
So, if you haven't seen the movie, go watch it.
And then come listen.
Then come listen. Yeah, don't leave us. Then come back. Okay. But this will be going up in, like... week and a half or something, so like I bet a lot of people have probably seen it by then. But you were like, you have to see this, and I'm like, fine, I'll watch it. Like, I mean, I wasn't I didn't really remember much of the plot even, actually, because we read the synopsis, and then it wasn't like a whole week or more, like week and a half maybe, probably more than that, then till we actually watched it. I legit was like, I don't remember what this is about, but you told me it was good.
Yeah.
So I'm good. And we've very, very similar tastes and stuff, so I trust your opinion if stuff is good or not. And we started it, and it's freaking good. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things I was interested in right after we finished is, like, I need to know this writer. And I was like, has she done any other work? And I looked it up, and she's done short films, which I know at least one, maybe two of them have won awards for. I think she's done three or four short films, something like that. But this was her first, like, full-length feature film, which I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I read about the... It was just, like, one article. I didn't read a ton about it. It was just the one. Because it was late at night when we finished it. How this story was actually inspired by her childhood. And it was set in a very specific town. Which is where she grew up. And they actually filmed there as well. They filmed in that town. And that the whole thing with the Bora telling... What's the friend's name? I never refer
Yeondu.
All this about, like, a guy and stuff. She said that she was talking to a friend. Like the writer said, she had been talking to a friend and then pulled out her old swap diary. It's like when you switch, you swap back and forth. And that she had done that with one of her friends. Like, you know, one of them was like telling the other one about a boy they had a crush on. And like, you know, the other one was getting like the details about them. Mm-hmm. So that's what. And I thought it was so interesting that the story was inspired by,
real life.
Yeah, I mean, like, the story's not, but inspired by, I thought that. And I think that just pushed the level of realism in this show is that I'm assuming, I couldn't find her age anywhere for the writer, but I'm assuming she's probably around high school age in 99, I'm assuming, like, most likely. And that I think, like, she could pull from her personal experiences of what it was like in that time period and also what it was just in that kind of thing. So I obviously, I was not alive till 2005, and the very end of 2005 of that. How old, so your oldest child
so
was
in
born.
99, that is when I had my second child.
Yes, so you were very much alive.
So I had an infant and a two-year-old at the time.
So what was Y2K like? Do you remember it?
Oh my goodness. People were like frantic. They were so scared. We knew people that like did the whole, you know, 50-gallon barrels of water and food stocked in their basement. Yeah. And because they thought that all technology was just going to shut down.
Mm-hmm. What did you think? Do you remember? Because you obviously didn't do that, but were you, like, worried?
No.
You weren't worried?
We weren't that worried. Mm-hmm. Honestly, because of where we live, I was less worried. There are...
Like, we don't live in the city. Like,
there
we...
are farms all
That's
around
true.
Us.
We're
so
surrounded by
there
farms.
There wouldn't have been a lack of food.
Okay.
You know, it would have been cold, but
did you ever think that tech was going to shut down? Did you think, like...
I didn't think it was going to shut
did
down.
Did you think it might,
I thought
like,
there might be issues.
Like, temporarily.
Temporarily, but I did not think everything was going to, like, just go...
Yeah, everything was going to explode.
Yeah, and but people did think that was going to happen.
Which, I mean, like, fair enough. Like I said, you know...
They're like, what are the computers going to do?
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. I guess that's also when computers were still newer... To, like, consumers, I guess? Like, would you say everybody had a computer in their home, even?
Yeah, most people
did. Most people did? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, granted, we still had dial-up back then.
Right, right. And then, I think one of the things that I really thought was, like, kind of strange, because I'd never, I'd never heard of people doing it, was... carrying around pagers. I didn't know people carried around pagers. You said you never did that.
I never did that.
Did you know people who did? Even before 99?
I did not. Hmm. No. But that like, as far as I knew, only doctors carried pagers.
Well, that's nowadays, yes.
Right. But even back then, doctors carried pagers.
Because you were in high school in the... 80s. Were flip phones a thing yet? In the 80s?
No.
So there was no other way to communicate other than, like, something like a pager.
Right.
But that's so interesting. I felt, because when I saw people, like, you know, they all had a pager and a pager number, I was like, did
nobody that I knew had a pager.
Maybe that's just wasn't a U.S. thing.
It might not have been a
maybe
U.S.
Maybe it was
thing.
In other countries and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just found that. I was like, oh, I've never heard of people carrying around pagers
though
before.
I do remember noting, I don't know if you want to talk about this now.
Go ahead. We'll
talk
about
I do
now.
Remember noting, as far as the whole, this is 1999
thing. Yeah, we were
thing,
talking about this.
Her watch.
And his
and
watch.
His
and
watch
his watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were very... appropriate.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it was funny because his watch, like my brother, he has one from the same. It's not the same watch, but it's like the same brand.
Yeah.
It literally looks exactly the same still.
Which is why He got
Which is why he got it, because it was like...
it's retro.
Yeah, because it was cool looking.
Yeah.
I mean, his was... his is older. Like, he... I don't think... did he... or did he get it new? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah, but no. Would you say the... mind you...
her clothes.
Her clothes.
Definitely, like, the big baggy t-shirts, the long, wide pants. Of course, she was also styled to be...
a tomboy,
a tomboy versus her friend who kind of dressed cutesy.
But I feel like the, I feel like fashion from like the early 2000s is a bit more distinctive than like, I don't, you know, I can't think of what people would have worn in 99, like versus like early 2000s. I can like the cliche stuff you'd see, like all the celebrities wearing and stuff like that.
Well, 99 would have been...
like, what era?
kind of, like, mom jeans before mom jeans were mom jeans. You tuck your shirts in. Turtlenecks were big.
Just trip down memory lane here.
I'm trying to think of what I wore.
Yeah. I mean, it also would have been, like we said earlier with, like, the pager thing, it also would have been different, like, with the U.S. versus, Korea.
Sure.
Obviously. Because, like, fashion, like, in, for example, in K-pop versus fashion in J-pop is, like,
really
and
different.
It was even, I feel like it's a bit closer now, and depending on what groups and stuff, but I feel like 10 plus years ago, it was, like, really different.
Well, if you look at K-pop videos... from,
yeah,
let's say, BTS's
debut. What was
it?
2013, I believe.
And you compare those to U.S. stuff,
fashion,
at the same time.
It looked like Korea was way older.
It did.
And then Korea caught up to U.S. and surpassed it.
Yeah. That might be part of the thing with the pagers. Korea has always been a more forward tech country than the U.S.
Or in a different way.
In a
different timeline, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tech is used.
Because, but they did have, I don't know, was that cell phone, flip phone, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the, Woon-ho did get one.
He did,
I mean,
yes.
When, like, what was the first, like, when did the first Nokia or, what's the Berry one, the other, oh, what's that phone brand? The
BlackBerry?
BlackBerry.
Daddy had a BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when did the...
the Motorola.
The Motorola, okay.
Was first released in January of 1996.
Oh, so that makes sense that not a lot of people had
it. Not a lot of people would have
it.
They would still have their pagers. Yeah. So it's a kind of a big deal for him to...
yeah, I mean, she had, was looking at it, and she, I don't think she'd ever seen one before, or, like, or known someone who had it.
Technically, flip phones had been released in...
probably earlier than that, maybe.
91 and 94,
mm-hmm.
But they weren't, like, the Motorola, they, you know.
Oh, okay, so in 96 was when they started to be a bit more accessible, I guess you could say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah. Wait here. And, I mean, it's also, like, different with, like, was that in the U.S., I'm assuming?
Flip phones became popular in the late 1990s.
Well, yeah.
Like Google says. Okay.
Okay, so we're
moving
we're
on.
Distracted. Okay.
So and is there any more you wanted to say about the,
yes,
the setting
definitely.
Of the
and
time period there?
I think one of the biggest things was that, and someone, I'd said it on the Discord, and someone said it, like, way better than I, it was, like, what I was trying to say, but they said it better, is that I see, it's mainly with media that's, like, set in, like, 99 or early 2000s, like that, or even, maybe even 80s. Maybe, is that people nowadays, most of them were alive and can, like, identify with the stuff that they used. Like, like flip phones and stuff like that.
Right.
You can identify, or like the type of cameras they were using and how they dressed. Versus like, you know, obviously like historical stuff, you're not going to relate to that. So it's like, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, because I would say most people who, maybe not most, yeah, probably most people who watched it, what if you were a decent amount of people watching, probably were like, where they remember, like,
oh, yeah,
Y2K and everything like that. And so, but what they did not do, which I've seen, I haven't personally, like, watched stuff, but I've seen clips of stuff, people talking about it, this and that, of stuff that's, like, very purposely set in, like, the 2000s or 90s or whatever, and they almost lay it on too thick.
It's like they romanticize.
That's what I was trying to look for earlier today.
Yeah, I thought of that. They romanticize the whole style and aesthetic of the.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but they go like stuff, everything. They go into it big time, and it's rather than being the backdrop to the story, it like becomes the story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what someone on the Discord said, is that like it wasn't, this is a 99 movie with romance. This is a rom-com that just so happens to be set in 99.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the plot points, and I think the writer really took advantage of how tech was in that era, and like how Bora communicated with Yondu. It was, I guess it's kind of like an emailer.
Yeah, it was email.
It was email. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, of course, emails me. Like,
and you notice she didn't have. Did she have the computer at home?
She did.
She did have a computer at home.
I think so.
Man, that was one ancient.
Oh, wow. That was a chonker right there.
But the sound of her keyboard. Yeah. I remember that sound.
I know. And it's one of those things that I think they, like, hit the nail on the head with it, is that they didn't push, like, they didn't, like, shove it in your face. And
right.
Like, this is a 99. Oh, all these fun stuff they use. Mm. And, like, oh, the cool cameras. Like, they didn't emphasize it, they just used it as the setting, which I think was very well done. And like I said, it's different because that era, so many people like remember it, you know, compared to like I said, like historical stuff. It's a little bit different. But and I also remember while we were watching, because I was not alive then, I would constantly ask you, oh, did, like, you know, you know, was that similar to what you did in, like, 99, like, that kind of thing. And obviously, you weren't in high school.
Yeah, so it was a little different because I was... Because
you were already...
I was already having children.
Yes, so it's very different.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to mention the casting for this movie. I almost said show. I'm sorry, talking about dramas. I thought was really, really good, especially, oh my gosh, Kim, how do you say her name? Kim Yoo-jung was, who played Bo-ra, was, like, I mentioned it, I was like, how do I say this? It was tricky earlier, like, she, in my opinion, is somewhat what made the show, or movie, like, with... I literally can't picture anybody else in that role playing it that well.
She had so much energy.
She had so much presence, like, seriously. And then she was actually, other than her dad, I think she was the only person we had seen in something else. For, I think we'd only seen her in Moonlight, I'm pretty sure. Right? Have we only seen her in Moonlight? I mean, that was from 2016 was Moonlight. Yeah, that's movies, dramas. Cause she did a lot where she was played young. Oh no, sorry, she was in Clean with Passion. She was the main in that as well. And that was so Love in the Moonlight was 2016. Clean with Passion was 2018.
She was also in The Moon Embracing the Sun, which you haven't seen, but I have.
She was in... Oh, no, she only played... She played the young version.
Yeah.
No, no, I knew she was in that. But I'm seeing, like, a main role. We've seen her in Moonlight, and Clean with Passion. Those are the only two we've personally seen her in.
Well, she's so young.
I know, right? It was.
She's been in a whole bunch of other stuff, but
she's been in a crazy younger amount considering version of. She's, I think, 23 currently, which is part of the reason she was able to play a high schooler very, like, convincingly. Because she literally, what? She literally looks exactly the same as when she did in, pretty much in Moonlight. I don't think
when she was 16, yeah.
When she was, I think she was 16 in that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she just, in some ways, like, she was, like, very in your face, mm-hmm. almost loud, like, very energetic. This might sound so stupid, but it almost, some of what she did almost, obviously was sometimes a little exaggerated, but mm-hmm. you know, just TV character, almost reminded me of myself. Is that just me? Is that, not everything, like, here and there, I feel like, sometimes, like, I'm
definitely her interactions with her friend mm-hmm. was you. And her interactions with Hyunjin, that was so
that
you.
Was so, yeah, yes. Totally. Because I'm so that person uh-huh. who's like, I don't know, I feel like I'm really, like, chill. And okay, she was not very chill. But no, I'm like, how she would, like, joke around or push him around. And, like,
yes.
I feel like I'm very much that type. Not as much as she was, but, And I'm also very excited to see the actor who played Moon Ho, which is Byung-woo Seok. I'm excited to see him in other stuff. He hasn't been in a lot. He's like 30.
31!
I'm like, to be fair, really? He definitely
looked older.
Looked older. Yes. For sure.
Yes.
Out of, like, I think he was the oldest, like, by a decent amount. Yeah, because, like, what's his name who played Hyunjin was born in 96. So he's
a year older than Simeon.
He's a year older than Simeon. So he's 27. What would that be? 26, 27?
26.
26, 30. Was he 30 or 30, like, one?
He's 31.
Currently.
He's 6'2", by the way.
He's so tall.
You noted how tall he was.
Oh, my gosh. And I was just like, I'm like, oh, I guess that's what I look like next to people. I'm only 5'4". I'm not tall. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so she was 23. Woon Ho, he was, what'd you say, 30 or 31. Mm-hmm. Hyunjin was, like, 26. And I think what's-her-name was, oh, she was 22. She was born 2000, who played the friend. I think it definitely showed that the actor who played Woon Ho was a little bit older, but I think they honestly got away with it pretty well. I think mm-hmm. I don't think it was bad at all. Mm-hmm. And so with Woon Ho's character, I mean, Woon Ho and Bo Ra, I mean, like, they're obviously the leads. And, like, mm-hmm. I think them, I very much connected with the most, mm-hmm. and I mean, we'll probably talk about that more later, but, like, and I think it's honestly part of it is just that they were, because they're the leads, they're given the most screen time.
Right.
That's, and I was able to connect with both of them a lot, which I also find funny because, especially with Bo Ra, I felt very connected to her character, even though my life experience has been absolutely nothing like what hers was. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, like, I mean, I guess I still have the rest of the year left of high school, but I've never had a crush on someone while I was in high school. I don't go to public school. I'm homeschooled. Like,
so you never had a best friend like she does?
Yes and no. I don't anymore. I somewhat did in dance.
Well, yeah.
Not to that extent, though. And also, you know, I'm obviously grew up in the 2000s, and this is in, like, the late 90s, and, like, even though literally none of our lives, the only similarity is we both did Taekwondo. That's probably, like, literally it.
Well, I could identify the most with Woon Ho.
Mm-hmm.
He's quiet, reserved.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He does his thing. But when he talks, he always has something to say.
That's funny. We're very similar. The two yes. It's so weird. It's funny because I feel like a lot of people, just from listening to this podcast, don't think of you as a quiet person, I would assume. You're not with me. You're not a quiet person.
When I'm with you, I'm not very quiet.
No. But I feel like in... Like you,
but outside of my immediate family,
yeah, like people you don't know as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I was very shy. Elementary school, I never talked. In high school, I was very reserved. Mm-hmm, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And even after we got married and we were part of this group, and you know, we were asked to share something, and you know, I rarely did. But whenever I, you know, like, oh, I have something to say, the leader's like, okay, everybody stop.
Yeah, for once.
Because if I had something to say.
You knew it was important. It wasn't, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Woon-ho, I think they did a good job of portraying him. He wasn't like, oh, the little shy one in the corner.
No.
But he wasn't the popular kid.
Right.
He was like a middle ground regular person, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
And I think that's something that was, like, a lot of high school, usually it's typically more like dramas, you'll a lot of the time have the characters as either the nerd, the rich kid, the pretty girl, like mm-hmm. that kind of like.
It was really nice.
Stereotype. There's none
not
of that.
To have those.
There's a nerd.
There was no. There was no bully. Mm-mm. There was no the three mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
It was really.
Yeah, they didn't have your very stereotypical high school like roles in
right.
it, which. Which I think made nice. It seem very, oh, see, made it seem a lot more realistic than I'm watching, like, a random TV show
exactly.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think they really did that well with, like, Woon-ho and also Hyunjin and stuff, is that they were just like, Hyunjin might have been pretty popular, but he wasn't, like, the end-all, be-all popular kid.
Right.
Like, you know, every
like,
single...
Like, nobody gets to date him because you all
like
have to
F4.
Share him.
He wasn't an F4, was you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And, yeah, Woon-ho is just so, oh my gosh, so freaking innocent. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like, I constantly was like, oh my gosh, he's so freaking cute. And, like, or I felt so bad for him towards the end. And, like, it like, hurt to see him hurt.
Mm, yeah.
And that kind of thing. And that is something that takes a lot of skill from the writing, the shooting, and especially the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he portrayed it very well. And yes, you're kind of right. He was a bit more on the quiet side, but I kind of like how they did that.
Like that moment when they're
natural,
in front of her store.
Mm-hmm.
And no, they were sitting in the rain and she said to him, I didn't come on purpose.
Even though that was in front of her store, I'm pretty sure.
Just his...
His eyes. It's like
filled
with
tears.
It's like
I mean, he didn't cry.
No. Oh yeah, I know. Just like the light just like faded.
Mm.
And it's like how people can do that with their facial expressions
yeah.
is just crazy
yeah.
to me. And he did that really well. Like I think Bo-ra really played into the more, like, very obvious what she was feeling and stuff like that, which worked really well for her mm-hmm. character. I think Woon-ho, with that, his character, like, he was able to portray the more subtleties.
Yes.
But he was able to portray them very, very clearly
mm-hmm.
and I really liked that for
right.
sure. And then Hyunjin, actually, I was surprised. I expected him to be a bit more of a main character. Mm. I mean, I still kind of like how this movie really focused on the other two. Like, you really got to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because originally we had thought, you know, that Yeon-do liked Hyunjin-bok. It was like the mix-up had happened.
Right.
And, like, yeah, I was just kind of surprised how he just ended up being, like, the best friend. Like,
yeah.
Literally.
I loved how
I love those
the relationship
two.
Developed. Between he and Bo-ra.
I really liked that. It was really
you know, and
fun.
Especially, like, his, when they were picking the grapes, and he's like, look, you know, I express my feelings. You don't have to treat me like mm-hmm. dirt. And she wasn't treating him like dirt. She was just treating him like, what she said, her classmate.
Oh, yeah,
You know, she wasn't treating him good or bad. She's just, he was just another friend, really. Yeah.
And their dynamic I found really fun. Like, yes, there wasn't a ton of it, but I liked seeing it.
Like
it
at the...
The beach?
Amusement park.
Oh, the amusement park.
Oh, and the beach. I think with the beach, he was still working under the fact that he liked her at that point.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But by the time they got to the amusement park, he had
no chance. He knew
it
was, yeah.
Because he even said, you know, those two like each other.
And I don't know. I just feel like seeing their dynamic was really, really fun. So, Yeondu, you mentioned that, especially for you, but I totally agree, that she was the hardest character to connect with.
Yes. Part of that, I think, was because she didn't get a whole lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't identify with her in any way.
Mm-hmm. And because I was able to identify a lot with the other characters, I didn't feel like I lost anything that I wasn't able to identify with her. Like, the movie was just as good, even though I couldn't. But yeah, I feel like I didn't know her personality well enough to, like, this sounds off, to judge her choices or actions, I guess, or, like, have any kind of feel to, like, how she would normally react to something.
Or even, I must say, even with her acting, I wasn't sure what I should be seeing from her. So I'm like, well, is this good acting or bad acting or what? I don't know what I'm supposed to expect.
Yeah. And I wonder if that, I don't know if that was more purposeful or that might just been our interpretation of it. I'm not sure. But I agree that I was like, I don't think she was bad at acting and horrible or anything like that. But I definitely don't think she was quite as notable.
Right.
As, I mean, even Hyunjin wasn't as notable, but for him is a bit different because, again, he didn't get as much screen time. But yeah, I had a hard time, like, knowing, like, there's some shows where, it's usually more like shows that have, like, multiple episodes, how you get to know a character, and sometimes, like, their decisions, you can really see where they're coming from, but other times you're like, that doesn't feel like this character. Like, that feels wrong to me, like, after knowing this character. For her, I, like, couldn't judge off of that, like, at all with it. But I don't think she was, like, a bad character or anything like that.
Right, right.
She was just very different compared to the others, I would say. And how she was portrayed as well. I mean, she was a very different type of personality, for sure, compared to, like, Bo-Ra and stuff like that. So, with the plot, like, the general plot, I personally liked how they started it in, like, modern day and then jumped back. Like, they didn't start it in 99. But I liked that it was, like, they just did, like, a little bit in modern day.
Right.
They didn't try and establish what the future Bo-Ra was like.
Right. They didn't.
At all. It was just her coming back to her hometown and then, like, oh.
Well, the only thing they did establish was that she was a voice actress.
This is great. Okay, so the opening scene was the future, or I guess you could say current, Bo-Ra doing voice acting. And then, like, it's quite at the beginning when Bo-Ra joined the broadcasting club. I was going to say radio. The broadcasting club. And I was like, immediately, I was like, oh, that's how she got into voice acting. And you're like, how'd you put two and two together?
You picked that up so fast.
I said it immediately.
Yeah.
I think I said it actually before she even joined or something. Like, she was going to join. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So that's how she found out, like, she's good at voice acting. And you're like, oh, I didn't get that far.
Nope,
like,
nope.
I immediately saw that. But I remember you saying, like, us two especially, really hate how, like you were saying earlier, how some shows will do, like, they'll show something that happens in the future and then they'll jump back.
Yeah. And then you're waiting for them to get to that scene to finish it.
Right, right.
But I didn't feel like that with this.
That was different.
They didn't, like, chop off a scene as if dun, 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 all the drama's going to lead up to that moment.
Right, right. Yeah. They didn't show something that was, they literally showed basically what was in the future. Mm-hmm. Like yes, shows just usually show what's in the future, but it's like in the future of like, over like this like future of like 20 years, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. And I think that them not spending a lot of time in modern day, I think actually like really helped like that, like the rest of the plot line. Especially this was just me, I don't know what it was. This was stupid. The first few times like we saw the two guys, I couldn't tell them apart.
I'm like, that's Woon-ho. That's Hyun-jin. No, that's Hyun-jin. Okay. I had to tell her who they were. It was really funny. It was so unusual for you.
I know. I actually really... Okay, so what it was, I think, is that... like, while Bo-Rob was, like, gathering the info about them and this and that, like, especially initially, before she had really talked to them yet, and was mm-hmm. more just looking from afar, basically, like, they didn't show close-ups of the two guys. Like, their faces. So... then once suddenly they're, like, friends, I was like, shoot. Like, if both of them are next to each other, this is funny. I used to be like this with BTS.
Yes,
they
you
look
did.
Nothing alike.
Yes, you and were. And I used to I was like, geez, how can you not tell? They all look so completely different.
They do. And you know what? They do look totally different now that I know who's who. It's funny. I've never done that with another K-pop group, but no. I mix up their names for some reason. They don't even look alike. Whatever.
Oh, that was the first group you actually tried to learn all their names, too.
That's true. That's probably the only group. That's one of the few groups I know everybody's name. Most groups, I only know a few people's names. But with this one, if they were next to each other, I knew who was who. But if they were just, like, not, they're completely separate, the first few scenes, I was like, crap. Because I didn't even, like, it's not that I couldn't, I mean, yes, I couldn't tell them apart, but I didn't even know what they looked like yet. I was like, I need to establish what both of them look like before I need to start telling them apart. It was, by the end, I was fine. Yeah. I just struggled the first, like, half of the movie. I was bad. And I, like, I just loved how invested Bo-Rob was with getting this info. Yeah. Like, the freaking details she got. Like, she was creative with it,
and the fact that, like, at the one point where he figured out it was her on the phone, and the next day, he's like, you want me to give you Hyunjin's pager number.
And at first she was like, it wasn't me, I don't know what you're talking about. And then was like,
I said, will you give it to me?
Oh, wait.
She was not ashamed whatsoever.
She won the number.
She would do whatever she could to get that information from her for her friend.
I loved it. Oh, my gosh. And it was fun being like, I was like, you know what, especially, I mean, like, nowadays you do that, but you basically stalk them on social media.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's the same concept, except maybe... I don't know if it's creepier when you do it in person. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But it's, like, the same exact concept, except now you're putting it into, like, you know, before social media was literally a thing yet.
Yep.
And I don't know. I thought it was really fun, and also because I think they're supposed to be, like, 17. That's what the one description
said.
Yeah,
she was 17.
It felt like I could see a 17-year-old doing that. Like, I mean, I'm almost 17. I am in, like, a month, but... especially a 17-year-old in 99.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
That does make sense.
It fit the time period and the age for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, they couldn't have... If they set the same story...
no, wouldn't work.
Now, it wouldn't work because, like you said, they'd be all on social media and everything. And there wouldn't be any... there wouldn't be that physical book. There wouldn't be...
having to, like, email her friend and stuff like that.
All that,
like,
sleuthing that she had to do.
Sleuthing?
Yeah, she was like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, sleuthing.
Sleuthing.
What's that of? Like, I've never heard that one. Okay. New word of the day.
Every podcast, you learn a new word.
Oh, right. It's been a while, actually. I think it's been a little bit. But I think that's part of what I think was so, like, amazing with this writing is that... this story doesn't work in a different time period,
right,
basically.
Right.
I think that was, like, so cool. And I think one thing I absolutely love when shows do this is that obviously most, well, pretty much this whole movie is shown from Bo Ra's perspective. But when, I don't remember when they did it. I wish I did. I don't know if it was before or after people confessed. When we got to see everything from Woon Ho's perspective, I was like...
You mean at the very, very end?
No. When we got to see how he had met her... Oh, it was when he wrote the letter. He wrote the letter for her. Mm. Was gonna give it to her before he left. And in the letter, he was writing about how he first saw her in winter.
Right,
and
saw
that.
We saw the whole visual
and
of his letter.
It was so cool. I absolutely love when shows do this, is that we get to see the same scenes,
yes,
but from the opposite perspective. It tells you so much. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's adorable.
Yeah.
He already likes her. Like, ugh. And I was so glad we got to see it. It gave you such a different perspective of how, like, we really got to see how he felt and how he's, like, felt it for even longer.
Right. And that made you all the more heart-wrenching. Same thing. Where he had to leave.
Right.
You know, he felt all of this for her. Well, and basically she said, I never really had feelings for you. And how difficult that was
for
him.
You got to see, like, because you had to know how he felt first before, like, being able to see why he was so hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and because we got to see that, it made you understand, like, oh, of course he's, like, devastated by this and that kind of thing. And that was, like, so crucial to that, for sure, that we got to see his perspective as well, not just hers. So the scene when Yeon-do confronts Bo Ra of how Bo Ra had been hiding that she liked Woon Ho. You said you had kind of mixed feelings.
I had mixed feelings, and it was also, I'm thinking about it. I think it was also the way the dialogue went. Wasn't as crystal clear to me.
Oh, that makes sense.
How the argument was going there.
Right. And did you think that she was overreacting? That Yeon-do was at all?
Yeah. I felt like she was, considering she knew what her friend was like.
Right.
But again, like you pointed out, she realized later on that her friend did what she did.
Yes.
Because she loved her and was protecting her.
Yes, it definitely took her time.
Yeah,
and I understand, like, I mean, also, like, they're only 17. Like, they're still, I always say that. I'm, like, literally not. They're still immature.
They're still immature.
I'm basically calling myself immature. Yeah. Yes, like, they're still immature. And, no, I agree that initially it was, like, did you not think of, like, how she, like, this was something really big that Bo Ra, like, decided, like, for my friend, I have to just, I mean, that, I can't imagine being in that situation.
Right.
Like, that, yes, that will could absolutely break a friendship if something like that happened. And, but yeah, at first, with Yeon-do, it was, like, hard. It was because we knew what Bo Ra had gone through, but obviously Yeon-do didn't, like, realize it yet.
Right, well, like, her one statement was about how, you know, of course, you know, our friendship comes up before comes before a guy. Of course I would be willing to give up a guy. But, and I'm like, that's what your friend's doing for you.
Yeah, but I think it's more, basically Yeon-do was trying to say that, and I think the biggest thing I noted with that argument was that Yeon-do was never said, I can't believe you liked the same guy.
She never did say that.
Interesting to me because I was like, so many shows,
I liked him first.
Yes.
Yeah,
I feel
she
like
never
the
did
cliche
say,
would
yeah.
be like, you know, I saw him first, you know, like, hands off, you can't have him. And I was like, that is not what she was mad about,
right.
Which I think was somewhat, like, refreshing to see, that she was not mad at her that she liked the same guy. She was mad at her that she didn't, like, we're best friends. That, like, we can't, like, we should not keep any kind of secrets from each other. We should be the first people we, like, tell about these kind of things.
But how do you do that? She was going to tell her.
She did.
And then she saw the scar, and she couldn't bring herself to hurt her friend. Mm-hmm.
Like, she, it wasn't that she was going to tell her. She basically
did. She said, I have something I need to tell you.
Well, no, it was in
that scene, she didn't tell her.
No, it was in the email. So she did tell, she did tell her, but it got deleted. Yes. But, and I think, but then I like that we got to see, Yeondu, then she saw the email, like, saw it had been deleted, or, I don't know if it was an email, I don't know what it was exactly.
It was an email.
It was an email?
Mm-hmm. But because it was, like,
in... It was, like, connected or something. Yeah. And how she saw that and realized the timeline, and then I think the biggest thing was when she was talking to, Woon-ho, and basically saying, like, you know, she's always been there for me, what she's done for me, like,
that's what her... best scene.
That was her best scene.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Those tears that came down her face.
Those are so good.
Looked like real tears.
Yeah, they were.
Unlike some other scenes, her emotions just didn't feel quite
as genuine, maybe, I guess you could say.
But that scene was totally on point.
And I think that showed how, for her, it took her time to look at it and think about it before she was able to realize what Bora had done for her. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what she was expressing in that scene. Like, Bora's always been there for me. Like, she's literally always been there for me and done so much for me. And she's realizing she did it again.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I wish, obviously she wishes she didn't. And I think that, you know, that initial argument... Of course, I mean, of course, like, you know, meant a lot because they had this big argument, but it was her actually, like, thinking about it. And then you got to see, I feel like you got to see a lot more of her character there.
Yeah.
And also their friendship, for sure, of how, you know, she's always been sickly and this and that, and how, like, you know, Bora's always been taking care of her. And I kind of liked how she then, after explaining all of that to Woon-ho, she later on uses that to get Bora, basically. And I think that was very smart how she did that, actually. But, yeah, I mean, and I think we're going to get into the ending now, because that's kind of where we are. But, and it was something that I like that overall, I'd say this drama, I think what made it, or movie, what made it so different was that it didn't play into the cliches and tropes.
Right, it didn't.
Like, it was so realistic. It was, like too realistic.
Now, there were some things that were guessed ahead of time. Like, you guessed that the name tag, they'd switch jackets.
I had guessed that they'd switch jackets.
And then you had predicted that he was going to have to leave.
I did. I called
that. But you know what? It's because it is a drama. Mm-hmm. And we've watched so many of them.
Yes, I'm not saying that they didn't have stuff that was semi-predictable, which is fine. Like, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But there's a difference between predictable, which... can sometimes be bad in this situation. Like, some of the stuff I predicted, you probably wouldn't have. Like, with the jacket switch. Did you ever think of that when you first watched it?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think of it so quickly.
Of course, the first time I, like I said, the first time I was watching it, I was just soaking it in. I wasn't, like, analyzing anything.
I feel like I naturally analyze stuff. You know what? It's really funny, actually, because I feel like we would analyze stuff to a certain extent, even before we would had this podcast. But after having this podcast, unless I'm watching it on my own, like anime and stuff I watch on my own, I feel like I'm still the same way. Pretty much any live action thing, I feel like I do somewhat look at it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Not in a bad way. I think it's perfectly fine. But like when we watch, like we're watching Andor at the moment, and I feel like I look at it from like, what would I want to talk about? What things would I notice? Like, very subtly with those.
Right.
But I do still, I do think I look at it slightly differently now we have a podcast. But there's one thing that, yes, sure, I was able to call out a few things or predict them, which I kind of called it out on a whim, to be honest, yeah. Some of the stuff, like, with the name tag thing, versus having, like, tropes or yeah. cliches, and they didn't use those at all, which I think it was right. so refreshing to see that, yeah. honestly. Mm-hmm. So, the ending, if anybody's watching, or not watching, listening up to this point, hasn't seen it, this is, like, the biggest spoiler,
right.
basically.
Right.
So, I think one of the best scenes in the show was the train station scene. Or subway or whatever.
Absolutely. Train station.
Mm-hmm. And it was something that, oh my gosh, showed the acting capabilities, mm-hmm. especially of the actress who played Bo-Ra, because how she just, called out his name, was finally able to find him, and, ran to him, and then stopped, and just immediately tears started forming. Like, mm-hmm. She hadn't even said anything yet, and, it was something that felt so, like, real in that moment, how, of course, she would have that emotion and stuff like that, and then I think one of the biggest ones was when Woon Ho got in the train, started to leave, and then he broke down.
Yeah.
Like, he was able to hold it together in front of her.
Exactly.
But then just couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was something, I'm like, it just felt so real. Mm-hmm. And just, and very emotional. I'll admit, it's weird. I felt very connected with this movie, and I felt multiple emotions. Like, I would laugh at parts, like, mm-hmm. find other parts, like, oh my gosh, it was so real, and, like, this and that. Like, I never got close to crying, I'll admit.
That's okay.
That was fine, but I think some people be like, oh, then, like, it wasn't emotional enough. No, I'll admit, I am not the most...
You're not a crier.
I'm not a crier. It is hard for me.
I'm a crier.
You're a crier. Also, you mentioned you watched
the first time I watched it. I watched it after midnight. I finished
and
it.
I'll admit,
and when I'm really tired, I'm super extra emotional.
Like, I've rewatched clips from Goblin at 1 or 2 a.m. Literally was done for,
mm-hmm.
Crying.
Yeah.
Did I cry when I initially watched it? Actually, no, I got very emotional, very invested, very oh my gosh, can I, but I never got to the point of actually crying.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm a hard person to get.
But
to
see,
cry.
Crying is not
that
prerequisite to
no
an emotionally satisfying movie.
Like, I felt so, and I mentioned that, I'm like, this is one of the few movies I felt, or even just shows, literally any media that I felt. So, so many different emotions, I feel like, compared to most things that I watch. I mean, it was very different to be like, oh my gosh, I feel so many emotions towards this. So, then after the train scene, and then they were just doing, I guess it was emails back and forth and stuff.
Mm.
And I think it was cool to see... To see that, and, they didn't take... I mean, it went across a decent... It went across summer break. Well, was it summer break? No, that was a different part. That was a totally different part of the movie.
Okay, she graduated.
Yeah, it went till before she graduated till right before she got into college, I think. So, it was few months, I'd say.
He left in...
We don't
know. 99.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time she heard from him... It's 2001.
No.
That was his death date. It was 2001.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it that long? Was it really a year or two? Because you would I think they were in 11th, I guess.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe it was 2020 was his death date.
No, it was still 01.
Was it 01? Okay.
I thought it was 01. But yeah, I guess it was longer even. So Maybe when he left.
Yeah, it was 2001.
So let's say if he left when they were still in 11th grade, so you finish 11th grade, then you have all of 12th grade, then prep for college. And attend. So yeah, no, I think it was a decent amount of time. But I liked how we got to see, like they showed it quickly. Like they didn't need to spend too much time on it. How they were trying to stay connected, even though. Dude, trying to do a long-distance relationship in those days, oh my god, in those days, it wasn't that long ago, but like 20 years ago, I can't imagine, like, I mean, with the tech you have nowadays, it's so much more, like, feasible, you know?
Right, there was no FaceTime, there was no smartphone.
There's no texting, even. Yeah. Well, there might have been, but, like, they did email. There might not have been long-distance texting, if you know what I mean, like, you know.
Well, you could text on your BlackBerry. By then.
Probably, yeah. But they didn't email and stuff. But at this point, after she said, like, and I never heard from him again, I, honestly speaking, had guessed it might have been that he had died. Like, I didn't, like, think, oh, he died. Like, I was, like, for like, the first few scenes of them showing her in college, I was like, what the heck happened? I don't know. Like, it took me a while
to even... that's what my initial reaction was. Man, what's going on? I got
you were mad.
Mad at him at first, and then I got concerned.
Yeah, I more immediately got concerned. You, I think you had a slightly different reaction to that. I immediately was like, "Uh-oh, something's wrong. Like something's not right." And then they showed like through college, like just a little bit in college and stuff, and I like that they showed how like initially she, you know, she thought, "Oh, I didn't think of him anymore. It's been, like, 2-3 years, like, whatever." And then when she, like, broke down after hearing the same name. Yeah. And, like, that just felt so, like, I could see that happen. Like, you thought you forgot about this person, but then something just, like, everything.
But then they fast-forwarded from that point.
Oh, yeah.
To
present day. Present day. And then that's when she, well, no, she went. She went, go to the exhibit first? Yeah, she went to the exhibit.
No, she went home to help her dad pack up the store.
Well, no, I'm saying...
That's where she got the mail.
No, I'm saying that's where she got the mail. I'm saying, did she... She went to the exhibit before she watched the tape?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so she went to the exhibit. And at that point...
No.
I thought she went to
the... She watched the tape.
No, because, like, the final scene was her watching the tape. Wasn't it? What was, like, the final scene of the show? Oh, wasn't the final scene of I Want to See You, the 21st Century Like You?
Yeah.
So that was her watch. So, no, she went to
the... tape was the last thing.
No, she went to the gallery first or whatever, or exhibit or whatever.
Yeah, because Joseph gave her the video.
No, she had the video.
Told her that found that video.
Oh, the video wasn't the actual movie. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. Okay. Timeline here, timeline. So what happens when you don't take notes for stuff. But when she initially got to the gallery, because Woon Ho had used cameras and stuff.
I thought, this is his exhibit.
I initially thought it was his exhibit. Right. I was like,
this is his exhibit, but he hasn't contacted her in all these years. Weird. Like, wow.
Yeah, I was really confused like at that point. And then when they showed the 19-something 201, I was like, shoot.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And, like, I think one of the biggest things that I think they did really, really well was when then On Sung-woo, who played Joseph, the younger, I was like, so invested in this story. I was like, oh my gosh, it's On Sung-woo. Okay, back into the story. Like, don't distract him. And he played the younger brother. And I think it was actually really cool. I assume it was his exhibit because it had, like, Joseph on the thing. Yeah. I think it was... One thing that was really cool was to see him get into... Like, when he, what's the word for it? He...
I don't know what you're saying.
You, like, you do something, but it's, like, for this person. He... In honor. Like, he did it in honor of his brother. Uh-huh. And I'm assuming that he actually got into cameras and stuff, like, because of his brother. And I think it was cool how he was almost... I assume, like, the other, like, photographs and stuff were also Joseph's, and that he was almost continuing Moonho's legacy in a way. I think that was actually really neat to see. And then one thing, I think that's one of my, I just really liked how he did this, was when Joseph was talking to Baron, was like, I hated you at first. And she was like, well, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And it was like, I was afraid you were going to, like, take my brother from me.
Well,
like,
he was planning to leave.
He was planning to leave,
He was planning to come back to Korea.
Yes, he was. And, you know, and how he said that. It was, like, such, you know, from the innocence of, like, what was then, like, a five-year-old, you know, that kind of thing. And then how he was, like, you know, but he'd passed away. And, but he then later on found, like, the stuff and sent it to her. But I think one thing I really, really liked is that she didn't ask, like, how did he die? This or that. Like, it was obvious, and that was, like, 20 years ago it had happened. Yeah. Like, it was a very long time. It wasn't, you know, like, last year or something. Mm-hmm. But that they never mentioned how he died.
Right. Not important.
No. And right. I was like, that was not necessary to this plot in any way. Wouldn't have added literally anything unless the only thing I could think of if, I don't know, unless he, like, died, like, trying to get back to her or something, that would have been too dramatic in
yes,
my opinion.
Yes, it would have been.
But I liked that, like, afterwards, I was like, oh, yeah, they never mentioned how. Oh, I like that. Like, I really did, and I thought that it was very, like, I don't know, it was very different ending to how most movies are, and it gave you a very different feeling at the end. Like, I wasn't
the main character, the half the couple
died. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would think, oh, this is such a sad movie.
I like how, I think I've heard people describe it as bittersweet for sure. And I think it was one of those things where I wasn't, personally, I wasn't disappointed at the ending that they didn't end up together and stuff like that.
But I liked that they didn't end with that scene with the two of them.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
they
I forgot.
They ended with basically his memories, so to speak,
that
of
was,
their time together.
Honestly, I think that was one of the most emotional parts of the movie was the final scene when she was watching the VHS of it. And I think one thing that, like, again, because, you know, like, she had to pull it out the VHS, like, they just happened. Because
it was made back.
Exactly.
He made that video back in 2000.
Or something like that, yeah, exactly. And, like, she pulled it out and played it, and I think that was, like, and having it where they cropped the screen. Like, we have a big TV.
So it looked like a little
TV. Yeah, and it was like, and they cropped it to be like, this is all that the VHS shows was on a square, not a rectangle. And I think that, like, it just made you feel the, like, ness. Like, okay, like, for example, I've read stuff about this. I think it's the most fascinating thing of when you can feel nostalgic to something that you never, like, lived through. This was one of those points where I was like, it felt like
you get a sense of nostalgia.
Yes, you get a sense of nostalgia to something that you didn't even, like, have any similar experience of. And that was, like, you know, watching this tape that's, like, the bad quality a little bit and that kind of thing. And I think that it was, it also gave you another, it gave you even more of his perspective as well. And it made you, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, he's gone, like, it, you know, that kind of thing. And then it, yeah, it was, I think it was one of the most, like, it was such an interesting way to end it.
And then you, as soon as it ended, you noted
why
it was called 20th Century Girl.
I was like, that's actually a really sad reason why it's called that, is because when he says, I want to see the 21st century you or something like that, and I was like, I guess I'm assuming it's called 20th Century Girl because he never saw the 21st century version of her, basically. I was like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like, man. I do like, though, that they tied in the name of it. I actually quite like that with the final line.
Yeah.
But it was one of those movies that you're just like, oh, it's over. Like, it's done. And it... like, and I wasn't mad at the ending mm-hmm. or thought it was unsatisfying or anything like right. that. And I also saw someone mention how it was also different because it didn't end with, there wasn't any kind of breakup, really.
No.
And actually what it ended with is that, in theory, they probably would have still been together if, you know, whatever happened to him didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so, like, their love for each other was still intact, I feel like, in a way. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they had gone through this dramatic breakup and this and that. It was like, no, it's just ended up not, like, unfortunately, he ended up passing away. And it was, you know, that kind of thing that, you know, that, like, innocent teenage love wasn't, like, tainted by a breakup, right. if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't quite have a, they kind of had a breakup in a way. They actually did, but then they, like, actually started dating afterwards, like, thing. She rejected him.
Oh, well.
First rejection, maybe not breakup, yeah. I guess you could say, but I would give this, okay, out of 5, what's your rating? 5 out of 5 stars.
This gets 5 stars.
Also, the girl who played the older version of Bora, those two just, like, worked. The older and younger version, I loved it. 5 out of I would give this movie a 5 out of 5. Like,
5 stars.
I think the only thing I could, like, give, like, constructive criticism was that I couldn't connect with Yeondu's character, but that is something that's so personal.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing I can think of that I didn't quite like as much.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, is there anything else you could think
that
of?
That would have been it.
That probably would have been it. And that's more just, like, very personal interpretation of mm-hmm. it, I feel like, compared to, like, oh, the acting was bad, or the music was, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I would highly recommend this.
Speaking of music...
Oh, yeah.
My favorite piece of music that they used was when he confessed to her at the top of the roller coaster. The music they used as they were riding the rest of the roller coaster was...
Just worked?
It just worked. You had to go back to that scene and watch that and listen to the music for that one.
And this is one of those movies where, even though the ending obviously is pretty unpredictable, like, it's not what you'd expect from a rom-com, which is, like, I love when shows do stuff that's unexpected. I would even watch it again. I don't know why, but I just feel like I would just to... see even more subtleties I might have not noticed.
That's why I was so willing to just watch it again. So soon after I watched it.
You literally watched it like days after you'd seen it the first time for sure. How was your experience different compared to the first and second time you watched it?
Oh, there were certain things
that you didn't notice?
That she said.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
tell me the scene.
Like when she said, I'll just consider you dead to me now. I'm like, crap.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's true. Yeah. And
it's just stuff like that, that the lines that were said that you'd be, when you don't know what the ending is, they sound different when you know what the ending
is. That's true. And that's one thing where, like, you know, I've watched not a decent amount. I've watched, I guess, a decent amount of shows twice, not as recently. But no, there's so much that you just don't see your first watch. Like, for me, it's a lot of facial expressions, especially probably more from, because we read subtitles. I think there are some, like, really, even though I usually do notice them, sometimes I don't as much. And the second watch through, because I know the plot, I'm not trying to figure out who's who or anything like that. I can really focus on a lot of is the acting. And I feel like just... watching stuff for a second time, you just don't see stuff you saw the first time. I feel like sometimes it can make it an even better experience for sure. But we really enjoyed this movie, if you didn't realize. And I think it's something that, like, we, I guess not as much, we used to watch pretty much everything that only had a happy ending, but
used to do that.
Honestly. And I kind of like that this had
but this doesn't have a
bad ending.
Bad ending.
No, it was just And that's why it kind of left me feeling, like, so different than most movies would. Like, not in a bad way. Just like, whoa, that.
Like, compare this, the ending to this one. Mm-hmm. This is a sad ending. Mm. To the sad ending of Hymn of Death.
Oh, they're really different.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Those are very, they're such different feelings behind it, for sure. Yeah, and I think that if a movie, especially a movie, this was 2 hours long, like, barely.
Yeah.
If, no, probably not with credits. Like, in 2 hours, if you're able to really connect me with this characters or plot or whatever, that is impressive and very well done. Like, super, and this movie was able to do that in just 2 hours. Like, 39, we've mentioned before, is the drama that made us cry the most, like, literally ever, personally at least. But I feel like part of that was that they built it up for so many episodes.
Right.
That was a very different storyline, obviously. But this one was able to do it very impressively in a very short amount of time, I'd say. And I think it was really well done. So,
okay.
Yeah. Now we'll stop talking about this movie. So, this is something that I would recommend to a lot of people. Like, obviously not people... I feel like especially people who could look, basically people who are older than me, who could look back and who were teenagers.
If you were a teenager in 99,
it's not that
you might even find this even more interesting than, like, the two of us
and
did.
And you could connect with it on a different level because you could relate to, oh my gosh, I was like that. Like, you know, that kind of thing. But we really enjoyed this and we hope you join us talking about it, and we'll see you all next time.